be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the Pharisees, a lawyer, in an attempt to trip Jesus up, asked him, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest, the first commandment. Second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, the whole law is based, and the prophets as well." Gospel of the Lord. Okay, so after the child is baptized, you notice that there's a big candle there, and it's called the Paschal candle. Now, all of you should have your own candle. All of you have a candle?
Yes.
Okay, this family does not. We'll try to get you one. You should have a candle. Okay, so there's the big candle and then the small candle. Now, to understand baptism as well as the other sacraments, you have to understand a little bit of symbolism, okay? I'll give you a simple symbol. If I stretch out my hand and you shake my hand, that's a sign of friendship, okay? But if you kiss your husband, that's a sign of love, okay? Okay, the 4th of July, I raise the flag. That's called patriotism, love for the country. Those are called symbols. Symbol is a physical reality that has a spiritual meaning behind it. Now, the sacraments are jam-packed with symbols. So to understand the sacraments in the church, not that you have to have a degree in English literature, but understand what's called the basics of symbolism. So one of the most important symbols in baptism is that candle. Okay, most of you have a Bible in your house, right? Okay. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In John, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." But then in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." So that candle that's burning bright now symbolizes Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the light of the world." But he also said, "You are the light of the world." Very important you understand that. He's the light of the world, and you're the light of the world. Now, one of you in the family, mom, dad, or your godparent or godmother, can light the candle. The church says it can be mom, dad, or it can be the godparents also. You're going to be going through these doors. You're going to be drawn close to the candle. You're going to be lighting your candle. Then you're going to be walking like this in front of your candle. The obvious reason is because if you don't, it's probably going to blow out because of the wind. It's probably going to be extinguished because of the wind. You're going to be doing that. How does that refer to you? Could your interior light be extinguished? Yes. That's called what? Mortal sin. Yeah. Okay, mortal sin still exists. That's not simply catechism from the Council of Trent. Still, mortal sin is a reality. We commit a mortal sin, then the light within us is extinguished. Then you go to confession, it's lighted again. So it's incumbent upon us to keep that light burning. Keep that light burning bright. Years ago, there was a mother that came to church, many years ago. Her child was about 3 years old. She went up to receive communion, and when she came back, her son, who's only 3 years old, put his head over the heart of the mother. And the mother said, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm listening to the heart of Jesus beat within your heart. 3 years old. Only 3 years old. And that little boy was very smart. He went on to become a lawyer, but he wasn't happy with that. He went on to become a priest. Then he went to Chablais back in around 1560, and there are 56,000 Calvinists, 56 Catholics. After he was there as a missionary for 4 years, when he left, there were 56,000 Catholics and 56 Calvinists. You want to know the name of that little child? St. Francis de Sales. St. Francis de Sales, who was one day a little baby in the arms of his mother. So all of you are called to form saints. All of you are called to form saints. But if you do not have your light burning bright, then you cannot give light to your child. You can't give what you don't have. It's a common proverb. Everyone understands that. You can't give what you don't have. I can't teach Vietnamese because I don't know Vietnamese. But I could teach Spanish because my Spanish is very good. I even have a radio program in Spanish, so my Spanish is very, very good. Not to mention my English. So you can't give what you don't have. So I'm going to talk briefly about three ways that you can keep that light burning. First is you got to pray. You got to pray. St. Augustine says, he who prays well lives well. He who lives well dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Amen, huh? St. Augustine, okay? St. Augustine, the doctor of grace. He who prays well lives well. He who lives well dies well. He who dies well, all is well. So you have to pray. You have to pray for your children. And you have to teach your children to pray. So I mentioned three different verbs there. You got to pray with your children, pray for your children, and teach your children to pray. About a year and a half ago, I went to visit my parents in Florida and one of my nephews. And my nephew had a little child that was 2 years old. They said he can already pray. I didn't believe them. 2 years old, okay? So I said, come here, Mikey. And they said, can you pray? And he prayed the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, the Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. 2 years old. And he was able to pray also the rosary. Now, how on earth did little Mikey learn how to pray? His parents. Obviously, my nephew and his wife were trying to teach this little guy to pray. Then he just turned three. But a three-year-old praying the creed and the rosary, I've never met anyone do that young. Obviously, the child is very intelligent. But good parents, too. Good parents, too. Now, if I were to ask you to pray the creed, probably 95% of you couldn't even pray the creed. Not to embarrass you. So we have to learn how to pray and teach our children to pray. Second is this. We are a composite. We have both body and soul. What do we pay more attention to? Of course, our body. Should be the other way around, though. Because our body's going to die. Our body's going to die. But our soul is immortal. So, try to nourish your soul. The best gesture you can do in your life is to go to Mass and receive Holy Communion with faith and love. Nothing greater than that in the universe. Go to Mass and receive Holy Communion with faith and love. Nothing greater. If I were to tell you, you come and greet me tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would give you $5 billion. Would you come?
I'll be there. Yeah.
How about if I were to say Mass for you at 3 o'clock in the morning? No, I prefer 12 noon, huh? Well, you got to be honest. Because why? We pay much more importance to our physical life over our spiritual life. And our spiritual life is a billion times more important than our physical life. As Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul in the process? So, come to Mass. Obviously, you have to come to Mass on Sunday. But come to Mass even on a weekday when you can. I know an 86-year-old woman that travels 45 miles, sometimes 0 degrees, to go to daily Mass. So there and back, close to 80 miles. 10 degrees. That woman happens to be my mother. Okay? How many of you are 86 years old, ready to travel 80 miles in 10 degrees, sometimes 0 degrees? We're spoiled here, California. We're spoiled. Because there are so many opportunities in Southern California. You go someplace there in Vietnam or the other parts of the States or the South, you got to travel a long way to go to Mass. Whereas here we have so many churches, so many Masses, and we don't appreciate the gift. It's only in the absence of the gift we appreciate really what the gift is. Only with the absence of the gift. So receiving Holy Communion is a great way to keep God's light burning within you. And I said earlier, we want to make sure that we make good confessions. Let me tell you, what is the best beauty parlor in the world? Now, the best beauty parlor in the world is the confessional. Because you go in there ugly with sin. And you come up white as the snow. Better than a regular beauty parlor, huh? How much money is a regular beauty parlor? $100. Sometimes it doesn't even work, you know, you go in there and the wind blows it up. So the best beauty parlor in the world is the confessional. Because that's gonna wipe your face clean, the face of your soul clean, and you're gonna leave as white as the snow. Amen? Amen. Now last but not least, try to pray the rosary. Try to pray the rosary. You look up in front, you can see a white statue of Mary. And her title is Our Lady of Fatima. Did you know that Our Lady of Fatima appeared in Portugal, in Fatima, exactly 100 years ago? She appeared to Jacinta and Francisco and Lucia. May 13th this year, Pope Francis canonized two little children. They died when they were about 10 years old. And they are Francisco and Jacinta. They are made saints and they died when they're only about 10 years old. So you have children. You have babies. There's no reason why you cannot form them to become the future saints. Amen? You can do it if you trust in God and you love God and you try to live your own faith. So starting today, we're all going to try to pray for the grace of a real conversion. That we will, as you heard the gospel, we will love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength through the prayers of Mary, the Mother of God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.